Hi, my name is Yara and I'm the host of Life After Birth. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded. I send my respects and reverence to Whadjuk Noongar elders, past, present and emerging. On this podcast, we share stories and wisdom about the ups and downs of our mothering experiences, much like the First Nations people of Australia have done so through their storytelling for over 60,000 years. Through their oral traditions, the Whadjuk Noongar people have supported and celebrated one another and have passed down knowledge, values and lessons, providing a testament of the power and significance of sharing our own stories. In honouring them, we recognise the importance of storytelling in understanding our past, navigating our present and shaping our future. My hope is that this podcast carries this spirit forward in our conversations, acknowledging that while our stories may differ, they all hold value and contribute to our shared human experience. Hey Mama, I'm Yara Heery and this is Life After Birth. This is where you can find honest and vulnerable conversations that lift the veil on how mothers really experience life after birth. Join me as I talk to the experts in the parenting space, but not as you've heard them before. These conversations explore the common humanity in all our lived experiences as mothers, so that you're left feeling seen, heard, validated, and bolstered in your ability to weather your mothering storms. Hey mamas, welcome back. Today's episode is a solo Seeds for Your Garden episode, and it's also the last episode for 2023. The podcast will be back in February 24, once my kiddos return to school and following some much anticipated time off to simply just be with my family. And that leads quite well into the conversation that I want to have today. So in today's episode, I want to explore five things that you may like to consider to support you in having a holiday season that actually feels relaxing. In terms of the holidays and most other special events or special dates, mothers are frequently the kind of the invisible elves or the architects of the magic that's created for the people who are involved in these special events or these special dates. So behind like the festive lights and the perfectly set tables, there's often a mother who's really pulled everything together, who's really orchestrated all, if not most of it. But as you may well have experienced, as certainly I have, this comes at a pretty, you know, huge cost for us. So mothers who work tirelessly to create these perfect holiday experiences often sacrifice their own peace and emotional and physical well-being. So the planning, the organizing, the cooking, the decorating, the thinking of all the things, the holding of all the things can be incredibly draining and dysregulating on our nervous systems because there is so much to do in a relatively small period of time, and there really isn't a lot of time for rest and recovery. So while it can be a labor of love to some degree, it's also a role that can really leave us feeling unseen and overwhelmed. The kind of expectation to maintain holiday traditions and ensure that everybody else's needs, their happiness is tended to, can be heavy, right? And it can really overshadow our own needs and our own desires. And so I feel that when we get into that situation, it really, we kind of lose the essence of what this holiday season is about, right? So the focus shifts from being about connection and celebration to perfection and even performance. And so it's really important to remember that the holidays are not just for everybody else. They're not just for your children. They're not just for your partner. They're not just for your family and for the other people who you often serve throughout the year. The holidays are about you. They're really about you enjoying. They're about you having opportunities to sit back and soak up the joy that is around you. And, you know, it's really about the spirit, right, of love and kindness and togetherness. And this spirit begins with how we treat ourselves. So with the holiday season very much upon us, let's get into the five things that I want you to consider for a more relaxed and joyful holiday experience. So the first thing I want you to think about is prioritizing your well-being. So the holiday season is meant for joy and giving, but it's also really important to give to yourself. So that means allowing yourself time to rest and saying no to unnecessary commitments and not feeling guilty for taking a break. And you may have seen that I have posted in the past about the importance of nervous systems in a household and information about co-regulation. So the energy and the state of the nervous systems that we have as mothers, as parents, our partners as well within that space, they do really set the tone for how our children's nervous systems are developing and how they are normalizing in terms of like what is the baseline state for their nervous systems. So it is really important during this period of time, I think, for our own joy, but also for the benefit of co-regulation, that we do recognize what our needs are during this season and we do prioritize those. And you may have heard, I'm sure that you've heard the sort of saying around you can't pour from an empty cup. And I prefer to talk about, rather than pouring from your cup, which means depleting yourself, I prefer to think about if you have a cup that is overflowing, then it just naturally overflows into the lives of the people around you and you don't have to end up in a place of depletion. So I love to take that perspective into the holiday season as well. And so something that I'd like to encourage you to do is think about what are your needs during this holiday season. And some of the ways that you might be able to do that is to spend some time making a list or doing some journaling to consider what the ideal holiday period would look like for you. So if you didn't have to, you know, keep the family happy at your own cost, and I'm talking not just about your own sort of family in your household, but also extended family. What if there were no expectations on you from them? Who would be there in your experience of the holiday season? Who wouldn't be there is sometimes the more important question to ask. What would you be doing? What wouldn't you be doing? How would it look different to previous holiday seasons? And most importantly, how do you want to be feeling throughout this period? Right? And so when I think about that for myself, I've got a very clear idea about who I don't want to be there and who I do want to be there. And that's a lot to do with my understanding from a historical perspective of how I feel around different people in my family or otherwise. I want to feel refreshed during this time. I don't want to feel like it's a slog. I don't want to be feeling hostile and resentful about how much I'm giving and how much I'm not receiving. I don't want any of that. And I really don't want to set that expectation for my kids either, in terms of that this is the way that holidays look, and for my daughter that that's what she, you know, needs to look forward to or how she ought to behave when she becomes a mother, if she chooses to do that one day. You know, so for me, it's like, well, how do I want to feel? I want to feel good. I want to feel replenished. I want to feel at peace. It doesn't mean I'm going to be like that all the time, but I want that to be in the sort of overarching feeling that this season has for me. And I also do and have in previous years spent time thinking about, you know, I've had a lot of Christmas experiences that went horribly. Right. And so I've spent a lot of time thinking about those and going, well, how do I avoid that? Like, I do not want to be around that person. I don't want to be in that situation. One of the really simple ones is before I had kids, culturally, what we would do is we'd get together on Christmas Eve and we'd be up really late and we'd open presents at midnight. And, you know, at some periods of time, they may have involved attending, you know, a very late mass. And that was pretty normal for our family. And I tried to keep that going when I had my son, and it was just an absolute nightmare because you can't do that with a baby. You can't do that with a toddler. I certainly wouldn't be having a great time to trying to do that with my 5 or 7 year old now. And so the lessons that I have learned is I don't do things on Christmas Eve anymore unless I'm not doing something on Christmas Day. So it's only one of those days. But in reality, I just try to avoid Christmas Eve because I feel like that special time for my husband and I to prepare for the Christmas day. And we really enjoy spending that time together once the kids are in bed. And also because I really love having our own family ritual, which is around, well, lots of Christmas movies in the lead up to Christmas, but certainly one on Christmas Eve. And that is actually far more meaningful for me than it would be to be out and about on that particular evening. So that meant creating a boundary around that. And then the second boundary that I created, which prioritizes my well-being, is saying, okay, on the day of Christmas Day, we only do one thing. We don't go house to house, family member to family member. We do one thing. And we have started to think about the holiday period as in, we've got weeks to see people. It's not all about Christmas Day. It's not all about Christmas Eve. It's not all about Boxing Day. It's about this entire period of kind of festivity, which to me goes beyond the new year. So for me, I think about it in that way, and it means that I get to be a lot more relaxed about how I spend my time seeing people so that I don't end up feeling overwhelmed, burnt out, exhausted, and to the point where I can't even really enjoy myself when I am out and about and sharing space and time with other people. So that's some of the stuff that I think is important to have a think about. And I do want to also just acknowledge some of the barriers that can exist for us prioritizing our well-being, right? So it's things like cultural expectations. So the social pressure that we may feel, or we may even put on ourselves because we've internalized that, to create a perfect holiday experience for our families, right? Which often means we prioritize the needs of others above our own. And I want to go ahead and say that that pressure kind of exists in our very Western culture, but then there are some cultures that have other kinds of pressures on women and on mothers specifically during the holiday season. So part of your, you know, work in deciding how you want to prioritize your well-being is also making decisions about what you want to check out of. Like, what are those cultural norms and social expectations that you actually want to unburden yourself from and you don't want to be a part of anymore? And yes, it absolutely means that you may disappoint someone. And that's just something that we need to get comfortable with. If you are not comfortable disappointing other people, you are going to be constantly disappointing yourself, constantly feeling full of resentment, frustration, overwhelm, and burnout. We cannot make everybody happy in our lives. Sometimes other people have to be the ones that are disappointed in order for us to have what we need on board to provide the best care for ourselves and our mental health, our physical health, and for the health and well-being of our families, our children, you know, our partners, etc. So yeah, that's one thing to consider. And then there's also, you know, this issue around guilt. Now, I'm not going to go deeply into this, but I just want to recognize that I understand that lots of mothers may feel guilty for taking time for themselves, you know, seeing this as maybe being selfish or neglecting their family's responsibilities. And I want to remind you to think about Hey mamas, it's Yara here from Life After Birth Psychology. I want to talk to you about something that many mothers carry a lot of shame about, and that's anger. Have you ever found yourself thinking, what the hell is wrong with me? Why am I so angry? Why can't I just stay calm? Well, I want you to know that you're not alone. So many mothers quietly worry about their anger. But did you know that your anger carries messages that can unlock a more regulated and fulfilling experience for you as a mother? To support you in changing your relationship with anger, I have created a self-paced online workshop designed to help you understand your anger and learn to process and express it in more adaptive and healthy ways. Within the workshop, you'll explore the role of your nervous system, the hidden messages in your emotions, and even how your past influences how you respond to challenge and stress today. But the best part, you'll gain practical tools that'll help you gracefully steer through those intense moments, all while deepening the heartfelt connections you cherish with your children and loved ones. Ready to get started? All you have to do is head to lifeafterbirthpsychology.podia.com, scroll down and click on my Why Am I So Angry workshop. You can also check out the link in the show notes for today's episode. All right, let's get back to the show. Not abandoning yourself. That's the first thing I want to think about. I want you to think about, you know, obviously the perspective that I work with clients therapeutically is parts type work, internal family systems specifically. And so I do often talk about our inner parts, and I do often think about the inner child that we have within ourselves. When we make decisions to only care for the well-being of other people, we are abandoning that vulnerable inner part that lives within us, that possibly has been abandoned many times before by people who were supposed to care for them and ourselves as we grew up, right? That we abandon that part of ourselves in order to meet the needs of everybody else. I want to encourage you to consider no longer abandoning yourself this holiday season. I also want to remind you of that idea of if your cup runneth over, it means that everybody else's cups get filled too, right? So actually, when we give so much that we become depleted, we're actually depleting others in the long term, right? When we are depleted and our nervous systems are lacking flexibility and so they get stuck in overwhelm and activation, we end up with a lot less patience and a lot less tolerance for our family, for our partners, and for our children. We end up snapping and acting in ways that don't feel in alignment with our parenting values. So in reality, when you actually try to meet everyone's needs and please everybody, you end up depleted and you actually end up acting out of alignment with what you want as a parent. That's generally what I see with people and certainly is my own experience as well. So that's just something to consider when you think about the guilt. The other really important thing that I want to talk about there in terms of a barrier for prioritizing your well-being is, you know, a lack of support. So I want to just acknowledge that some mothers may really lack the support system that they need to take a break, you know, especially if you are a single mother, maybe you're a newly single mother or father, or you don't have friends and family nearby to help share the load. And so that can be really challenging. And I think that that's really about getting creative. So if you are someone who doesn't have family around, who can you call on to support you during the holiday season? And so some of that might just be around like who can look after children if that feels comfortable for you, or who can come over with their kids so that your kids can have a play and maybe you can organize to, you know, cook some food together. You know, thinking creatively about how you can call in support if you need it in order to prioritize your well-being. It's also just making me think about, like, I have got some dates in January where I am doing small pieces of work within the business. And I decided that I really wanted to call in community to support me with that. And so I started a group chat with a bunch of my very close friends who've got kids the same age as me. And I said, hey, girls, I have got these dates that I need a couple of hours care on. Does anyone have freedom to have my children over their place? And then can you also let me know in the chat, what are the dates that you need help with so I can support you too? And it's been so bloody awesome. This is what a community looks like. This is what a village looks like. This is what it looks like to parent with support. It's just that we have to get out of our own heads and we have to get comfortable enough to be the one that puts the hand up and says, hey, actually, I need help, right? Like, I don't have any shame in asking for help because I know I cannot do this on my own and I do not want to do this on my own. I want to mother with other people. I want to be supported and I want to provide support to others. So that's just something it made me think about, how we share the load. The other thing that I want you to consider in order to have a more relaxing or peaceful holiday season is the importance of setting boundaries with family. So really, this is about choosing peace over obligation. And, you know, sometimes a huge source of the holiday stress can be from the dynamics of our family interactions. And it can be really challenging. I want to totally put that out there. I know it's hard because I have this same thing that I need to consider. I have these situations in my life, but it's really essential for you to consider this and to address this issue and think about foregoing family events if they cause you stress and conflict. So I think that some of the things to consider in this conversation around, you know, setting boundaries with the family is recognizing your limits. So understanding what aspects of family gatherings make you uncomfortable or stressed. Is it like the crowds? Is it certain family members? Is it that you freeze when people say certain things and you don't know how to respond back, right? So having a think about that, and maybe if you are partnered or if you've got friendship circle who you feel close with or a therapist even, having a conversation about how you're going to deal with those. So if it's someone, a particular family member who always talks about something that makes you uncomfortable, having a bit of a session where you bounce ideas with someone about how you're going to address that, and even having a couple of scripted kind of lines in your mind about what you can say back to those people can be really useful, But also if it's like certain family members that you just don't enjoy being around, like you get to choose that you don't want to be there. And you get to say, well, who are the people that I do enjoy, and potentially organize another kind of event where you catch up in a park, right? Like it doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to be a big event with lots of food and all the rest of it. How can you still engage with and connect with those family members who you do really love and who make you feel good and who do lift you up without having to be around those people that really bring it down for you? The other thing to think about here is about communicating clearly and respectfully. So if you are choosing to skip out on a family event, communicate it and do so respectfully. You don't need to justify your choices. You just need to provide a simple and clear explanation, and that's kind of it. So it's really about expressing your needs, not about creating conflict and something to consider whenever we're talking about tricky stuff. And this comes from relationship kind of therapy, is really trying to use I statements where needed, right? My own personal experience with this is actually just that I say, I can't make it, but I can see you on this other date if it's someone that I actually do want to hang out with. If there are people there that I don't really want to see, but they're not the person who's actually holding the event, then I'll just communicate to the person holding the event, look, this isn't comfortable for me. You know, so, you know, I and this person don't get along. I would love to see you though, so I'll see you on another occasion. And I might actually make the date for that occasion in that conversation as well, so that person knows that I really do value them and want to see them. So the other thing that I want you to think about, number three, is to simplify your holiday plans. There is such beauty in simplicity, right? You don't need to have a picture-perfect holiday season because, for a start, it doesn't exist. And who cares if it's picture-perfect if you killed yourself to get it and find yourself feeling overwhelmed, snappy, and exhausted, buying and cooking less food or buying pre-made things so that we don't have to spend all the time and effort creating on the day or in the lead-up. It means simplifying the number of plans that we have. As I mentioned before, we only do one thing on the day of Christmas. We actually go away. We've been away out of Perth for the last couple of years, which has been so beautiful because it means that we don't have to do anything. We do always have people come down and celebrate Christmas with us, but we're all together when we are away and there isn't anywhere else to go and nobody else needs to go anywhere. We all just sort of lounge around for a few days. So that's obviously very privileged. And we're very lucky to be able to do that. But we also purposely do that to avoid having to do all of the other things that we might otherwise feel pressured to do. I have to admit that. So have a think about, you know, how you might want to simplify your holiday plans. And I really want to bring this back to that comment, or I guess the idea that I made earlier, which is, you know, spend some time thinking about what the ideal Christmas or holiday season looks like for you. What does it look like for you? What do you actually do during this period in that week of Christmas? What don't you do? Who's there? Who's not there? All of that will help you in thinking about, well, what would it look like to have a really simple holiday plan? And then I want to talk about, I think we're up to number four, aren't we? Number four, creating new and low stress traditions. So, you know, I spoke earlier about how in my family, we used to always do Christmas Eve. This is a very European thing. So my family come from Mozambique, but also I have a lot of family in Portugal. And so that's what they do there. They go out together. They all get together as a family on Christmas Eve. They go out to mass. Sometimes it's midnight mass. They come home, open presents. It's a very late night. And it was really fun growing up. And it was really fun as an adult to do this, but it just was not possible for me to do with babies. I did give it a go and it was an absolute shit fight. So I decided very quickly that we weren't doing that. And I will tell you that people got very upset with me about it, completely unreasonably upset about it. And I stood my ground, defended myself, and just accepted that they were going to have to be upset about that. And I wasn't going to change anything about it. Like, I was going to prioritize the well-being of my own well-being and the well-being of my children and my family. So creating new low-stress traditions, like I said, means that we no longer do anything on Christmas Eve with other people necessarily, but we do always have a special movie night where we make up like some nice treats to snack on and eat while we're watching a beautiful holiday movie together. The kids go to bed and then my husband and I spend time together like wrapping the last of the presents and having a laugh, listening to, you know, cheesy Christmas music, having a drink together, and then we go to bed. And that feels absolutely beautiful for us. And maybe it's a bit of a tradition that we go away now all the time. Maybe that's also the new tradition that we have created. But that's what I want you to consider. So, you know, things like watching holiday movies in pajamas, casual game night. Actually, I love game night. What is it that you can bring into your family to replace traditions that maybe have been stressful that you can swap out with something that just feels good and relaxing and warm and nourishing for you in your family? And then the last thing I want to talk to you about, number five, is possibly the most important thing, and that is about embracing imperfection. Oh, my goodness. The holidays don't have to be and will never be flawless in order to be special. It's okay if things don't go to plan. We need flexibility in the way that we think, and we need flexibility in our nervous systems. Embrace the little mishaps and the unexpected moments. How quickly can you switch gears? Please embrace imperfection. My daughter said to me the other day, we went out in the morning for a walk, and she actually hasn't come for a really long time. And our house is pretty disheveled out the front because we just don't have time. We have this enormous tree that drops so much litter on our home. In fact, we're actually having it removed in January. It drops so much litter on our home. It drops litter in the gutters. It is just leaves and seeds and blossoms and mess everywhere. Plus, in the summertime in particular, spring and summer, there are so many birds in the tree that every single day we come out and our house and the car is literally covered in poo, in bird poo. And there's a particular season just before the blossoms come out. It's kind of like at the end of spring, just before the blossoms all flower on this tree. It's a eucalyptus. And the bird, the 28s, the lorikeets, they come and it's so bad. My husband has a white car and his car is literally purple. It is so bad. It's embarrassing. We're washing the cars like every single day during that period of time. And so anyway, I'm painting this picture just to explain that, you know, like we have a lovely house inside, but we really don't spend a lot of time caring for our garden in the front yard at least. And so we went out for this walk and my daughter says to me, we walk out and she says, Mum, our house doesn't look very Christmassy. Like we don't have any lights on the trees and we don't have lights out the front of our house. There's no wreath up and there's no baubles in the trees and there's no like statues of nutcrackers and stuff. And I sort of looked at our house and we do have quite a few houses on our street that have more of that. And I was like, you're right, babe. And I just sort of held that space for her and was just like, yeah. And in my mind, I'm like, I do not have the time for that. I don't have the time for that. And actually, I don't want to spend the money on it. I'd rather spend the money on the fun things that we're going to do during the school holidays than on Christmas decorations. And by the way, this is no shade to people who do, because again, if you find joy in these things and they really light you up, if they really light you up and if they make you feel joy and it doesn't feel like depletion when you're engaging in the decorating of your home, then go ahead and do it. For me, that's not my thing. I prefer to decorate inside our home and to spend time doing other things. And I bring this up because I'm not about to take on that tradition of doing that right now in this season of my life. So I would love for you to have a think about that in this season of your life. What is, if you wish to create a tradition, what is going to be a low stress tradition for you and how can you embrace imperfection, right? Because imperfection is my front yard right now and lots of other elements of my mothering in my life. But yeah, how can you embrace imperfection? So those are the things that I wanted to cover today and I so deeply hope that some of these things provide some food for thought for you. I know that there's only a couple of weeks now till we hit Christmas. So you may already have found yourself committing to things that actually you don't feel all that comfortable about, that you even have physiological feelings or sensations about, which is, by the way, a sign from your body that tells you that you're about to do something that you don't want to do, that maybe you should reconsider. And so hopefully this has been some food for thought that can support you in making some decisions that do prioritize your well-being, the well-being of your family as a result, and prioritizes you actually feeling a real sense of joy and really delighting in this time of year. So, you know, the holidays are about creating memories, cherishing the time with your loved ones, and I hope that you're able to get more of that with some of these tips. As I said, today's episode is the last one for 2023. I also want to send a huge thank you and so much love to all of you who have been listeners to Life After Birth with me this year and who have supported me in the podcast or in my work, if you're in my community, in my emails, if you're on social media, if you've purchased a course from me, if you've been a client and have been doing sessions with me. I just want to send so much gratitude to you for trusting in me, first of all, but certainly, of course, supporting me in the work that I do and my family, obviously, through that. So I hope that you have the most wonderful holiday season and school holiday period, if you've got that for you as well coming up. I hope you have a wonderful time. I hope that you find moments of rest throughout that season, that you are able to delight in your own experience of Christmas and delight in the joy of your children and your family, that you're able to soak it all up and just, you know, breathe it all in, just drink it all in. I hope that's so deeply for you. Hoping that you have a wonderful end of year and a beautiful start to 2024. I'll be back with the podcast, more episodes, some incredible guests in February. I will send out an email. I'll also talk about it on social media when we're about to press go for the podcast coming back. Yeah, that's it from me. I'll see you so very soon. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for joining me, Mama. If you enjoyed this episode, I would just love for you to leave me a review and follow or subscribe to be notified when the next episode drops. If you'd like to connect with me, you can find me over at Instagram, where my handle is at Life After Birth Psychology, and you can find out more about how I can support you on your mothering journey at my website, www.lifeafterbirth.com.au. See you back here soon for our next chat.